You can be seated. And I'm getting married soon, but I'd like to give Brenna some credit. She helps me, and I know she's always praying for me. There's no prayer like the silent prayers of a woman supporting a man, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm going to talk about an interesting topic today. I never thought about talking about it, but it encouraged me to study angels, and so I'm going to talk to you today about angels. Now, it makes me a little nervous because, well, we can't see them. We don't know too much about them. But when God laid this on my heart, he began to give me some revelation. It brought me last night. I was laughing and I was excited about this message because, well, I know God's got something. Amen. And so in Ephesians, to reiterate, we don't wrestle against each other. I know sometimes we get frustrated with people. Sometimes worldly people, they don't share the same views we do. And it can be very aggravating. It can agitate you when you go to work. And, well, they might tease you or make fun of you. But may I remind you, as the Bible says, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But there are spirits in this world, evil spirits, they go about at the devil's command. But there are also angels. And so to encourage you, we're going to focus on angels. Now, there's no light without the dark. There's no dark without the light. So I will sometimes mention some demonic presences that we have, not to scare you or anything. But I want to start off talking about a cherubim. So these are the guardians called to guard God's holiness and glory. And we see how they're called to guard his glory because when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, he commissions two cherubims with fiery swords to guard the entrance. That's our first introduction to cherubims. That's where we first see them in the Bible. We also see them in two other distinctive places. And we see them in Exodus and when they build the temple. Now in Exodus, if you go about halfway into the chapter, wherever, when God's giving Moses the direction for how to build the temple. Now, they didn't have a temple set in stone. They moved this temple. It's basically like a big tent. That's the way I think about it. And so when they traveled, they'd pack up the temple and they'd move it with them. But they were in two places. They were in the veil that went from into the Holy of Holies. There were cherubims embroidered in the veil. And there was two cherubims on top of the Ark of the Covenant, which we know houses the Ten Commandments, the Word of God. All that to say, cherubims guard God's holiness and his glory. Well, when you look in those places, the embroidery on the veil wasn't necessarily that there was an actual cherubim there, but to remind the priests of God's glory and his holiness. It's important. God can't even show his face to us because he can't. Not that we're not worthy, not that he doesn't love us, but sin and God don't get together. They don't mesh. It doesn't happen. That's why we have faith when we hear from God. Moses blows my mind. I'll talk about him later. I love Moses, though. Now, when we were praying, I had the honor. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be here most of the nights. I was at work, but I was with you in spirit. Took time apart from work to pray with you guys. But I had the honor to be here. I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday night. I was aware of the message that God wanted me to bring to you today. And, you know, he begins to speak to me about cherubim. This is when I start writing down notes and taking notes. And I look up. I have never encountered this before in my life. Now, I see a cherubim at each corner of the sanctuary. It's not that I see them like I see you. It's not like that. But the spirit, it's almost like my spirit was showing me. It's very hard to explain. But you should have seen what we were doing. We were praying the house down. I mean, we were praying. We were warring in the spirit. And so I'm like, well, why are cherubim here? Why? And it urged me to study them. Well, they guard God's holiness and his glory. They were there fighting with us. God will send you cherubims in your life. That angelic presence, and I was able to confirm with our pastor. And he was like, there's an angelic presence here. And if you were here, he mentioned it. And he actually was also very, very in tune with the word I'm bringing forth. He encouraged me to speak it. I'm like, well, I felt like led by God to speak it. He's like, perfect, I did too. So I'm here by God and my pastor, which are pretty much the same thing. If I'm submitted to one, I'm submitted to the other. But there was one in each corner. They were fighting with us. I'm telling you, they were fighting with us. We were pushing the devil back. God will send you angelic presence in your life to help you fight Satan. He will. I mean, we go out into this dark, dying world. I mean, I think about it and I get depressed. I do. It's evident that we are nearing the end times. But God will send us angels to help us. And I couldn't help but dwell on the thought that God gave them fiery swords. And well, in my mind, the way it works, I tied it to being on fire for God. Made sense in my brain, so I'll speak it to you this morning. Our being on fire for God will invite angelic presence, 100%. That's what happened on Thursday night, or Wednesday night, whenever it was. Unfortunately, I can't remember. That's what happened. That's why God sent angels. It is because we were on fire. I'm telling you, we were on fire. I'm sorry if you missed it. I am. I was pumped. It was amazing. I mean, it got me going. I was ready. I feel like I could take on the world. Why? God sent us angels. They 100% left with us. Now, cherubim 100% can leave with us. We can experience that angelic presence at work, at home. Why? Simple. God guards his holiness and his glory. Now, I didn't mention a third place they were in the temple. When Solomon built the temple, there were two big statues of cherubim. Not necessarily to symbolize that they were there, perhaps. I don't know, to be honest with you. But because to show the priests that God's glory and presence, his honor, they're divine. They're to be guarded. Those cherubim guard it. Well, in the New Testament, what are we? We're the temples. We're temples. Now, it's up to us how we live our lives. It's up to us if we're going to serve God, if we're going to choose to speak as a Christian. It does say to abstain from obscene language and speech. So you simply abstaining from the world, not living like them, that's why the Bible says in Romans, or wherever it is, to be honest. Oh, no, in Ephesians, I don't remember where it is. But that's why it says to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul is trying to help us have some angelic presence in our life. If you want angelic presence, sometimes you just got to say no. Sometimes you got to show up every day and choose not to live like everybody else. That's hard. I've had the opportunity to talk with some people in the blue collar trade. It's hard. Now, I'm sure it's difficult for some of you, but some people got some mouths on them. And it is, it's difficult. I guess I'll share it with you. When I was praying, I tried to find a spot in the hangar. I work on airplanes. And I tried to find a spot in the hangar to seclude myself from. Well, little did I know, I was being made fun of behind my back. They made a picture and a meme about me. I wasn't disappointed. I was like, ha-ha, the devil notices. I mean, last time I spoke, I hit a deer, and I'm like, the devil notices. But he does. He does. If you are going to live your life for God, and you're going to be sold out, Pastor, I feel led to say this, Pastor brought it up again, and I was ecstatic when I learned about this. Pontius Pilate, he washed his hands clean to symbolize, hey, this isn't my hands, this is your guys' hands, when the Jews were saying, kill Jesus, not Barabbas. Or I think that was his name, something like that. All right, cool. He washed his hands clean. He's like, this is your guys' fault. If you read in Acts, I don't remember where. If you read in Acts, they say Pontius Pilate was against Jesus. You can't say, I wash myself clean. Listen, it ain't my fault. It ain't my fault. You serve God or you don't. You're sold out or you're not. That's why God says it's better to be hot or cold, not lukewarm. To be honest, it must be frustrating for a pastor. Oh, I gotta be careful. I'll be really involved this month. But next month, I'm going to lay back. I'm going to chill, you know. I'll let the rest of the saints get it. I'll relax. I need rest. I'm sorry. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. And so God will send his angels to those who choose to live and abstain from this world. Well, you ever feel like you get a second wind sometimes? I'm telling you, God sends you angels to help you. You ever just randomly get on fire like, I got to speak to my school. I got to get to my family. God is sending you angels. Angels are real. Let me go in to a second kind of angel. Now, angel, I'm going to get really fancy in the Hebrew and in the Greek. But in the Hebrew and in the Greek, if you translate it, it simply just means messenger. And so, commonly in the Bible, if you hear the word angel, it's typically speaking, it's saying messenger. And that's what they do. They are, what's the word? I got to think of this word. Ambassadors. They're ambassadors for God. All right. Their messages, they bring peace, clarity, and truth. Now, I never said that hurts sometimes, but they do. How does God communicate with us? Through the use of angels. His messenger angels. As I said before, it's not that he doesn't love us. He loves us so much, he made a divine being to be able to come onto earth and interact with us. And angels do come up in human form. I'll give you scripture to back that up. They do. He loves us so much. He doesn't sit on his throne and say, I can't live with sin. I'm going to leave him on their own. They'll pray to me. That's it. You know, they'll pray to me. I'll answer a few here, a few there. No, he made angels to help us because he loves us. Let me get on a fun topic now. We live in a generation where it's not okay to not know. You know, it's if you don't know, you're not smart. I've noticed pressure being put on the youth of our world to know things. You know, you got to know, you got to know, you got to know. I'll be honest, one thing I learned in our school system is that, you know, you make mistakes, I'm not going to say, you're not smart. They teach you it's almost not okay to not make mistakes. If you don't know, you get bad grades. I mean, I was an A and B student. But to be honest, I stressed myself over my grades. I did. Sometimes I was like, oh, I got to get it done. I got to get it done. I got to get it done. But I serve a God who's omnipotent. I don't need to worry about knowing everything. I'm not going to lie to you. There's professionals to do what they do. God has blessed us. Not to say that, you know, we need to replace doctors with God's healing ability, but God has blessed us with doctors. He's blessed us with general contractors. He's blessed us with aviation mechanics so your plane doesn't fall out of the sky. Don't clap. But really, sometimes we just need to rely on God to know. Because he's going to put you in a season, he's going to be like, I want to see how you do not knowing. And you're going to be like, I don't like not knowing, I don't like not knowing, I don't like not knowing. I mean, that's how I am. I'm going to be honest with you. Now, recently, and I said that for a reason. Don't worry. I'm not crazy. Recently, I was in a service. Actually, I'll just be straight up honest with you. The Friday night, we had a youth service. You know, we went out somewhere west. I don't remember the city. But in this service, the devil was trying to agitate me, and I was getting mad. I'm like, I'm going to go in the service. I'm going to be real relaxed. I'm just going to take it back a little bit. No. I don't think you can do that sometimes. But the devil was warring with me. He was agitating with me. And what he was doing, because, well, he knows what he's doing. I'm not going to give him any more credit than that. But he's been around for a long time. I mean, he deceived Eve. We have to be careful. This is why we need Jesus. But I kept rebuking him. I'm like, get away from me, Satan. Get away from me. I kept praying. I kept praying to God. I'm praying for help. And I'm telling you, and I will prove it to you in the scripture later on. God sent an angel, a messenger angel, to my aid, and it reminded me of some things God has spoken to me. It concerns my future. I don't know how he's going to do it. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. If I try and think of a way, I have no idea. I don't want to think about it. It makes me sick. I don't want to try and figure it out. I don't want to know. Do you don't want to know why I don't want to know? It brings sorrow. That's a scripture, isn't it? Isn't it funny? The wisest man to ever walk the earth and whoever will walk the earth, because that was God's promise to Solomon, said knowledge is sorrow. I will tell you, God's knowledge is not sorrowful. When he speaks to you about a promise, when he informs you of what he's going to do in your life, when he informs you about what he's going to do in the church, that is not sorrowful. Come on, is someone excited for what God's going to do in PCC? I am. Are you sorrowful about that? I'm not. Has God spoken to you about your future? I guarantee you, you're not feeling sorrow about that. You're excited. Why? God's knowledge does not bring sorrow. I'm trying to encourage you. You don't need to know everything. You don't need to know it. And our stupid phones have made that so easy to know everything. All you got to do is talk to ChatGPT, Gemini, Siri. Siri, what's this? What's that? What's this? What's that? They gave us Alexa to just ask questions, and it's boom, we get an answer in seconds. That's sorrowful sometimes. I mean, sometimes, don't get me wrong, it is super nice. But also on the flip side, God doesn't want us to know everything. It blew my mind when Brother Ken Dillingham said, Job complained to God, wanting to know what his plan for him was. And all that Job didn't know was 13 verses out of that whole book. Out of everything that transpired, the only thing Job did not know about was 13 verses, and I believe it amounted to 2% he was not aware. He knew 98%. This is why knowledge is sorrowful. God is trying me right now, and he's telling me, you better totally depend on me. What do we have if we don't have our phones? What do we have if we don't have a car to travel? What do we have if we're all alone? There's one common factor. You have God. Your phone will not always be there. Go ahead. Keep your same phone for 15 years and see what happens. I'll tell you what, though. God will still be there. In Jeremiah chapter 1, God says, at the very beginning of chapter 1, he says, he knew you in the womb. Your phone didn't know you. Your phone didn't know all that stuff about you. I was asking it questions about me. I won't lie to you. Why? Why am I asking my phone and not God? And sometimes God might just say, have faith. You don't need to know everything. I felt led to say this. The affirmation of man will always disappoint. Always. Now, I love talking, conversing with people, picking brains. If you know me, oh, I love picking brains. Because I like to know it's a problem. But I do. But I will say, when Satan was trying to agitate me, he was using things people said to me. They weren't even necessarily bad. It wasn't even anything someone made fun of me for. It wasn't. It was simple conversation that Satan tries to misconstrue, that Satan tries to lie to me about. Satan can't tell the truth. It's impossible. And so I've used that to encourage me. If I know he's speaking to me, and you'll know. Oh, you'll know. Because Satan and anxiety, they're tied together. I'll get into that too, don't worry. You'll start to feel anxious. It just comes, that's how I was feeling. I was feeling anxious. I was like, well, what is going on? I don't like this. Why am I feeling it? Satan was trying to agitate me. And sometimes, you just got to look for the affirmation of God. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. When judgment day comes, God's not going to say, let me call your boss and your manager and see what they thought about you. He doesn't even say your pastor. He doesn't say your parents. It's God. Your eternity is up to God. Mom, I love you. You can't get me to heaven. Cole. Where is he at? Did he leave? Oh, you're hiding. Dad can't get you to heaven. Our pastor can't get you to heaven. Brother Ken Dillingham, Bishop Ellis, Bishop Nichols, prominent men in our fellowship, They can't get you to heaven. There's one person that can get you to heaven, and that's you. And it is my desire that everyone in this place would come with me, and I hope so. That's like a little rabbit hole. It's God's fault. Now, I'm going to take a little weird turn, but angels need to be our phones. Now, let me explain something to you. When you use your phone, there's someone on the other side communicating with you if you're calling or texting. Now, I want you to picture angels as being the phones and God's on the other side, right? Now, sometimes God doesn't always text you. Sometimes he might, sometimes he won't. Sometimes God calls you. Sometimes, no, hang on, I'll get to that in a second. But sometimes he calls you or texts you. Sometimes you got to call or text God. Sometimes you got to be the first one. This is why it's important to be not conformed to the world. This is why it's important to die daily, to make sure that your ears are tuned to Jesus, to his voice. I pray that. That's how I say it. And your eyes see through his lens. Pastor spoke about that a while ago, and it stuck with me. Now, I'll tell you why Moses blows my mind. God will message us, and who will call us? I don't recall him FaceTiming us. God FaceTimed Moses. Now, I'm trying to put this in funny terms. You know what it says? He showed his face to Moses. Now, Moses had to cover his face because God can't reveal himself. And I'm actually going to use another angel to talk about. Some angels can't even see God's glory because God is so awesome. Now, I'll get to that in a second. I'm sorry. I'm excited. You got to bear with me. He couldn't. He had to cover his face. It says he talked to Moses as a friend. Do any of you want that? I will be honest with you. I want that. I want to talk to God like my friend. What does that tell me? He wants to communicate with us. Now, I know I'm speaking of angels, but I feel something right now. But you know how he will do that? You know how he'll talk to us like a friend? With angels. Because he did that to me. I was just as excited to hear an angel as if it was God's voice. I was just as excited. Because I felt, and I'll tell you why I know it was an angel, I felt this peace come over me so strong it brought me to tears. Have you ever had that happen to you? You have a weird thought? Oh, that's a weird thought. I have this peace all of a sudden. It is not God randomly giving you a burst of relief. There was angelic presence in that moment in your life. And God will send angels to speak to each of you. Oh, sweet. Chantel, you're awesome. I didn't even notice that. But he will send angels not only to sometimes speak promises to your life. God's done that to me, and I'm clinging to those promises because I only tell you something. Sometimes that's all I got to keep me going. But he will speak to you through angels. Some very, very, very disturbing facts I found out about our phones. I mean, I fully believe, I fully do, our phones will prohibit us from hearing from God. And I'll tell you why, because if you're so focused about knowing everything and being on your phone and looking things up and asking Alexa and asking Siri and asking Gemini and asking ChatGPT, yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, you got a lot of options there, but you only got one option when it comes to who's going to get you to eternity. So it takes faith. I recently went to see an advisor, a financial advisor. I'm trying to be wise with my finances. One thing he said is when you invest, he's like, we don't put it all in one, we don't invest all in one thing. You know, that's not smart. He's like, we do about five. Five's a common number that they will invest in different companies with your 401k or however that works. I don't remember. When it comes to church, listen, all your eggs are in God's basket. It's all or nothing. And do you know how hard that is sometimes? Let me tell you, it's hard. It's not hard because the theory of it is easy. The theory of it is easy. But when you account for human flesh, when you account for life, which is just people, I mean, let's be honest. When you put people in the equation, it gets hard. It does. But I'm telling you, you got to put all your eggs in the faith of Jesus Christ. That sounds funny. All your faith has to be in God. It can't be in Siri. It can't be in your phone. Now, let me give you some facts that scared me and blew my mind. 40% of the population is affected by nomophobia, the fear of not even having a phone. We have a fear derived from being separated from our phone. 44% of adults feel anxiety when separated from their phones. That's horrifying. It's horrifying. Can I be honest with you? That's how I feel when I feel like I haven't heard from God. I recently learned something about hell. It blew my mind. Now, it says fire and darkness. We don't know how hell is going to be. Those pictures you see, man-made. God didn't give someone some man-made. What makes hell so bad? This is what makes hell so bad. This is it. Separation from God. That's it. Forget anything else hell's about. Forget it. Don't even think about anything right now. What makes hell so bad? Separation from God. I will tell you why. Sure, why not? Let's get some group participation. Who plays video games? I do. Who has money? We have a lot of broke people. I got money. I don't know if any of you do. Who has a hobby? Don't raise your hand because I don't want to bear. Who's had a past? Now, who's had a past of drinking? Who's had a past of just a sinful lifestyle? I'm not going to go into it. I don't need to. That's freedom that God gave you. Some guy spoke to me at my school, and he's like, I'm going to go to hell in a handbasket. And he's like, I'm just going to party. Listen, tell them this. Your ability to party and live the way you want to is from God. If Satan had his way, you'd be miserable. The only fact, the only reason any of us might have an ounce of happiness in this life, an ounce of joy, an ounce of peace, is because of God. That is it. Because we can have the opportunity to connect ourselves with God. I got a new phone recently. This also scared me. And I'm coming to a close. I went to T-Mobile. And if you don't like T-Mobile, I don't know, too bad. I like them. They had a board, electronic billboard, whatever you want to call it. It said, protect your life. It's like, protect my life? What are you talking about? It was a screen protector. I was like, oh, God. How far have we come from God to say that our phone is our life? That scares me. Your phone, I don't know why I feel like to say this, and I'm talking about angels, I know. But your phone will get in the way of hearing from angels. It will. Your phone should not be your life. We need to talk, and I know. For business, they are very helpful. It is. And I use it for work sometimes. But it can't be our life. The average amount of time a teenager from the ages 11 to 17 spends on their phone is 4 hours a day. Teenagers who spent 4 hours of their time, that's not homework, so don't downplay it. That is Snapchat, that's Instagram, that's social media, that's video games, and that's YouTube. Those same teenagers were prone to crippling anxiety. Were twice as prone to crippling anxiety. Your phone will get in the way of angels. That's why I'm talking about your phones. And I'm not the pastor. I don't have that authority over it. And our pastor believes some things about phones. I just want to simply inform you and encourage you and hope to open up your mind. I can't send anyone to hell. I'm just trying to encourage you. That's what I'm trying to say. I hope you feel my spirit. But it gets in the way. I've thought about this too. If I don't know if anyone else has done this. I have, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I feel anxious. I'm like, I'm feeling anxious. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Sometimes my mind's like, just go on your phone and just scroll. Why? It distracts you. Your phone will sometimes, instead of distracting you, you got to get in your prayer room and you got to pray. Now let me tell you something. I learned, this blew my mind too. I'll tell you what, God, when he gives you revelation, peace and anxiety are direct opposites of each other. Peace is not the, how'd I word it? I'm going to make it sound good. Where is it at? Oh, no. No, I'm going to find it. It's pretty good. Peace is not the absence of anxiety. Peace is the management of anxiety. Don't pray for God to get rid of your anxiety. I will tell you why. Sometimes I've come to learn, number one, what did Ephesians 6:12 say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of darkness in high places, or however it's worded. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's saying we wrestle against spirits. Now, if there's a spiritual war going on, I have learned that sometimes my emotions get flared up. I have learned that. Because sometimes I will randomly feel anxiety, and I'm like, what is going on? And I've tried to exercise wisdom, not just scroll on my phone, but consult God. Isn't it funny that as soon as I consulted God about my anxiety that I was feeling in that service, that I felt peace, and he sent me an angel to remind me? I have words that God has spoken to me, and I try and write them down because I'm going to be honest with you. I try not to look for the affirmation of man because sometimes what they say makes me feel anxious. What does everyone want to talk about? The economy. How everything's just not going so good. Listen, in this season of my life when I'm getting married, I'm looking for a house. Try looking for a house and for an apartment. Seriously. I'm praying about my career. I'll just say that. I mean, getting married is a big thing. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. I have to put all my faith in God. I'm going to be honest. I don't want to talk to people about my career or my job. I don't. I don't want to talk to people about sometimes I'll consult counsel because there's safety in the multitude of the counselors. So I have select people I will talk to. But I don't just want to talk about to anyone. I don't just want to look up on Google. How do I buy a house? God has given me people to do that. Now let me bring another thing to Moses. God spoke directly to Moses. God will directly speak to the authority in your life for you. Sometimes he won't speak to you. Because God is trying to teach you, you have to rely on him. Him being our pastor. He's trying to teach you that. So those are your messenger angels. That was the bulk of it. Now, really interesting one, but very short because there's only about 7 verses in the Bible that talks about them. It is Sephrams. Sephrams. So you don't have to pull it up, Sister Chantel, but in Isaiah chapter 6, that this is the only place you find these angels. And it's when God is giving Isaiah a vision. Now, they are said to have 6 wings, 2 to cover their face, 2 to cover their feet, 2 to fly. They cover their face to not see God's glory. God can't even reveal his glory. Angels. That's how great God is. That's how great God is. Isaiah had another vision about God. He said, I can't explain it. And he explained it to us the best way he could. Now, the 2 to cover their feet is a symbol of humility. Humbleness in the kingdom of God is vital. It's vital. Now, if you read, it's very weird. I think. Can you go to verse 7, Sister Chantel? Yes, it helps. And musicians, if you want to come up, I'm about to finish. And if you all would like to stand as we approach the end of the service, I'm sorry. Kind of scatterbrained. But as you stand, it says, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Now, in his vision, a Sephiram took a pair of tongs with a burning hot coal to Isaiah's mouth on his tongue. It sounds weird, but not everything in the Bible is literal. It was symbolism of God. This is the beginning of Isaiah's ministry. It was symbolism of God purging, it says it right there, to take away thy, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. So the only instance we see a Sephiram is when there's a purging or a cleansing. The Bible says to die daily, and that is vital. It's important that we have a clear mind, this is why we can repent. Now, sometimes you will get into a state of repentance and you'll have an angel, a Sephiram, be with you. That's what they're there for. for cleansing. The only time they appeared to man was to cleanse and purify him. All right, I'm gonna be quick. You don't have to pull these up, Chantel, just because I'm gonna try and fly through these. In Genesis 18, this is when angels showed up as men. Abraham, I called it persistence, pestering persistence. Now, if you read Genesis 18, Abraham prays. If you know what I'm talking, he prays for Lot. He's like, God, if there's 50, save the city. And God's like, if there's 50, I'll save the city. And he goes back and forth with God all the way to 10. Prayer is an invitation for angels, and it is how we war. Now, it says two men showed up to his door. Those were angels. Your prayer for someone else will send angels to save them or to help them. Prayer is an angelical invitation. I can give you a few more examples in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel fasted. He was so disturbed over this vision that the king at that time gave him a vision. This is the last thing I'll say and I'm done because I need to stop. The king of that time had a vision, and Daniel was blessed by God to, understand visions. It was an ability God gave him. And so he ended up being an advisor. You have to read the book of Daniel. It's one of my favorites. This vision disturbed him so bad, I don't know why. He went into fasting. He fasted some things, not everything, and was in prayer for 21 days. And then an angel shows. This is when the angel shows up to Daniel at the end of the 21 days. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, when he started to pray, and to chasten thyself before God, he fasted, and he got serious. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Next verse. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. Now there's two other named angels. We have Michael, who is an archangel, and we have Gabriel, who's a messenger angel. Real quick, Gabriel shows up to Mary to give her a message about Jesus' birth, and we hear about Michael right here. Michael fights on our behalf. One of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, the prince of the kingdom of Persia is a symbolism of the politics in the nation that Daniel is living in. Now, when we pray, God hears us. We learn this right here, right? He hears us. But our angels have to fight spiritual battles to get to us sometimes. And I'm telling you, when we prayed for those 7 days, we did something. Nothing didn't happen. As Brother Tyler said, this opportunity that he was speaking of as he invited me to come happened at the end of the 7 days. That is not a coincidence. And let me tell you, it is an opportunity. I'll just say that. We will fight. I think it's evident we see things in our world, no matter what country we live in, that are not godly. Sometimes you gotta fight. You know, you gotta fight the spirits of this world. You gotta fight the spirits of your nation. Now, I'm thankful for where I live, but I'm going to be wise enough to know that I gotta pray. Sometimes praying one time for something isn't enough. I have promises I've been praying for years. I could be praying for the strength of an angel, not to say that they'll fail, but clearly the prayers helped. So possibly it speeds up the answering of prayers. So if you're impatient, pray. We need to pray. And that's how I'll do this altar call. Why don't we all just come up and pray? If you think you got a burst of peace, there's angels here. I'll tell you, I feel it. Sometimes everything isn't always about what you see, but what you feel. And not everything's always about what you feel, but by faith. And I have faith that when we pray, God is going to send some angels Now, we had 7 days of prayer, but that's not to say we can't pray the house down at this altar call and God's going to do something. Now, I had spoken to bring, put all your eggs in God's basket. You tell God everything. Parents, your kids won't tell you everything. You didn't tell your parents everything. But I'll tell you, you can tell God everything. He ain't going to judge you. He ain't going to make fun of you. He ain't going to tease you. But all he's going to do, give it to me. I'll send some angels. You watch and see what I do. Watch and see what God does. Watch and see. Go ahead. I'll bet he'll give some of you peace. Now, I'm not prophesying, but I guarantee you some of us will leave this place with peace. Because I know. Not because I'm a prophet, because I read my Bible. Let's pray. I mean, let's pray. Let's show ourselves a worthy temple for God to send some cherubims to, because we need help to war. Let's war right now. Jesus, I thank you for the understanding of angels. God, I thank you for angelic presence. I understand some things now that I didn't before, and I thank you because I rely on you for your knowledge, for you are omnipotent. You know everything. I'm not going to worry about trying to figure out my finances. I'm going to do my best with them. But I'm putting all my eggs in your basket. I don't know what I'm going to do as a career. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to save my family. I don't know how I'm going to reach my coworkers. I don't know how I'm going to reach my classmates. But God, you know it, so I give it to you. God, I give you that sin. God, I give you that temptation that I've been feeling. You know I've been tempted about some certain things. God, I'm casting it at your feet right now. Oh, hallelujah. Shakam baba yoronto kiyabaha. Pray, church, pray. Pray to God about everything. There's nothing you shouldn't restrain from to speak to God about. Everything. Your marriage, your kids. Speak to him about everything.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. And holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. should I sing praise to the King of Kings? You are my everything, and I will adore you. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy and holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore.